It's Wednesday, February 10th, 2010, and you're listening to episode 181 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 57 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
My name is Pat.
Hey, I'm Chris. I almost forgot to talk that time. I almost forgot
Meta
myself.
Jokes are funny because only we get them.
Yeah, this is. You won't hear this in the edit, but for those of you at home, on our first take, Chad doesn't let Chris introduce himself and just starts talking. And then on our second take, we get to where Chris is supposed to introduce himself, and I've edited this out. But there's a long pause before Chris remembers to introduce himself.
When you said the words, you won't hear this on the edit, the first thing I thought you were doing, basically talking like you're talking to the listeners, this phrase I'm saying right now, you will not hear because I'm going to edit it out.
There are things that occur on this show you, the listeners, never know about because they get fixed in editing.
Yeah.
And so there are sometimes
they don't involve
things,
pants.
There are sometimes things we're laughing at or whatever that we repair our own mistakes. You know, we've said many times that Fear the Boot is not able to do what it does because our games are wonderful. We're able to do what we do because of all the ways our games suck.
Yeah.
And we've learned from that. And truth be told, the podcast operates about the same way. We just do a really good job of sanitizing it, or at least I hope we do a good job of sanitizing it before releasing it. If you were ever here to hear a raw recorded, which like the guys on the round table were there to hear a raw recorded, this show is a much bigger mess on the front end than it is on release.
And there's really no we to that. We record and then we leave the mess on Dan's plate to fix.
Yeah, it's the editing's passed through several hands. It started with me and it's ended back with me again. And I will tell you straight up, that is the least enjoyable part of doing this show is editing the sound files. But anyway, enough personal whining. Let's talk about an RPG topic before we get to the second part of our talk on health. And this will be the final talk on health. So as of 182, we will be completely off the topic. I hope you found the stuff educational and you respect its importance. But just in case, for whatever reason you don't, you're already buff and in perfect shape and an Adonai among men, then okay, fine, I guess we have nothing to say to you, but we'll be back purely on gaming next show. But let's at least start off with a directly gaming-related topic, which is passing notes.
Yes.
Love them.
I love notes.
One of the things that we have talked about several times on this show is that during games, one of the great ways you can help build dramatic tension at the table is by passing notes. Because the GM, of course, has to referee things, has to know what's going on. And I guess even the player is going to have side conversations where you take out an index card. And this is a great thing to have at your tables, a stack of index card or little scraps of paper, and write down something like, by the way, I'm sending a message to so-and-so, an NPC, and they pass it to the GM. And this may affect some things in the game the rest of the party doesn't know about. Or maybe Chad says to Wayne, Dave's character's getting a little kooky. I'm going to lock him in his room for a while. And he passes a note to Wayne and passes one to me. And all Dave ever does is I tell him, hey, Dave, your door is not opening. It looks like some kind of a malfunction.
Yeah.
And
but Dave can go 1 + 1 equals Wayne just screwed me.
Yeah. Dave can go 1 brain cell plus the rest of his many game-winning brain cells and recognize what's occurred here.
Yeah.
But my point being that while we've always talked about the positive thing notes can add in terms of allowing side conversations, even building dramatic tension, Chad's talked about how sometimes he passes a note that just says, like, hi, just to freak out the other players.
I like that stuff even better.
I sent Dave an invitation to the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Right.
But anyway, we hit against a problem, which is the opposite extreme, because everything in life, for the most part, is a narrow rail with a ditch on either side, and we fell off into the other ditch. When it got to the point at the end of the game, the notes, number one, were flying so fast, the game pretty much stopped. That I'm sitting here trying to narrate a scene or RP with somebody, and I'm getting this backlog of notes to the point, like, if you've ever worked in an office and known that guy who has so many meetings and so much email he can't actually do any work.
Or if, like me, you are that guy sometimes.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I had become a GM, is I had this queue of notes coming in. Well, in the second
You know what was funny about that? Is what? That our group, up until that point, through all the games with our current configuration of players, we never really did notes.
I always complained about not doing notes, too, because I wanted to.
And everybody wants to do notes, and the majority of the people like the idea of notes and stuff.
I love the idea of the GM handing me a note, because my character is then reacting to that, and it gives me a chance to get in character without everyone else knowing what I'm doing.
Well, what happened was, my character finally got to be alone. He finally got some time to himself away from the other players, and I had one or two things in mind that I wanted to do without them. And since I'm doing sort of a mechanical dice, I'm fixing the ship, you know, that's what separated me out. There was not much role-playing going on there. So Dan is focusing the spotlight on the other people who are interacting with NPCs and advancing the plot, and that's cool and all. So I'm like, man, I can finally do X, Y, and Z. Awesome. And so I start scribbling notes down, and I start handing it to him, and he hands it back. And I scroll something down, he hands it back, and I make a dice roll and scroll something down, he hands it back. You know, and then everybody sees it, and it's like the floodgates open. Everyone's like, oh, we're passing notes now? Yes!
Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, Chad, but the whole game leading up to that, I was wanting to pass Dan a note. Yeah. There was something I had going on in my mind, and actually Dan passed one to me first.
You guys were doing emails outside the game.
And I wanted to pass him something in there, but I'm like, if I hand him something, I am going to single myself out with everyone at the table. And then Dan writes something and slides it to me, and then you write notes and start sliding it to him. And it's like, okay, other notes are flying. I can safely start writing stuff without singling myself out now.
Well, the other problem we had was by the end of the game...
Yeah, this is the ditch we fell into.
This was the ditch we fell into. It was not just the volume of notes, because as a GM, I'm just one man. I don't have a secretary to process these notes for me. I had people passing me lengthy notes. Not one sentence of
my reply, chapter one.
Exactly. It was not like a one sentence thing of, hey,
it was the best of games.
I'm contacting my buddy to ask him about this. It was like, here's a letter I'm sending to somebody. And so I, as a GM, am sitting there trying to write a response back. And, oh, I forgot a sentence. Put a star here. Put a star down there.
He had a footnote in this goddamn note. I'm here through the whole game. And they're talking about, like, while we all were doing it, you know, of the five people that were at the table, it was them. I didn't pass a single note or have a single note pass me the entire night. Because I didn't need
to.
I was role-playing. Not passing freaking notes like a bunch of freaking 14-year-old girls. But anyway, I'm actually trying to do something with Dan. Dan's sitting here writing down his goddamn manifesto, and then I notice he's got a star and an asterisk. He's got a goddamn footnote. I'm like, okay, this has gone too far. This is, you know, notes are supposed to be one or two lines, not paragraphs of, you know, booklets of information.
I mean,
I hasten to say that we went from at the beginning of all
you
this
go, girl.
Dave goes, I don't like notes. I don't like notes in role playing. And by the end of the night, he's the one who's writing a goddamn book.
And he's the one who, and this is when you know that you're doing too much note passing. I think he was the one who suggested, man, we just all need laptops and just IM each other.
Yes,
it's like, you're absolutely right, and that's horrible.
But 99% of the game is supposed to be occurring at the table, not on index cards. Otherwise, you might as well do play-by-post. But
you know, one fun variation we used to do on the notes is when we played Battletech, we would essentially have a notebook that we would write down communiques from each mech warrior, what they'd be saying over the radio towards their fellow mech warriors, be writing stuff down. And about 75% of it was nothing but pure bull. You know, and just goofing around or making fun of our GM or make fun of each other. Very little of it was serious. But the funny part of that is that there was more role playing going on in that notebook note writing than there was actually on the table as we're battling each other.
Let me use some twisted logic to prove how Pat is actually the worst offender before I say something.
That is the Dennis Leary of Fear the Boot. That was a wonderful rant.
Pat, it's like Pac-Man. It's like, you know, if you go off the right side of the screen, you come on the left side of the screen. He wrote so many notes, he wrote no notes at all. Think about it.
Yeah, that's called role-playing.
Yeah. But, you know, seriously, you know what? I am still a big believer in notes, but I think there are two things you have to realize. One is from a purely mechanical standpoint.
Well, 90% of the notes flow into the GM.
Yeah, if you are writing that many notes, and by you, I mean the collective you of the players and the game master,
and
are writing
by
that
we,
many
I
notes,
mean the royal we.
Yes, are writing that many notes. It's got to stop or slow down because it's crushing the game. Secondly,
if it's multiple paragraphs, it's got
to
stop.
Quite frankly, in my opinion, if it's more than two sentences, it doesn't need to be a note. It needs to be a sidebar. You just need to say to the GM, there's something I want to do. Can we step into a side room real quick and resolve this? Because I can role play or talk out something in 2 minutes. It may take me 10 minutes to write. Mm-hmm. I am a full believer in notes. I totally support them. I think they're a great way to add all kinds of layers of RP. But man, use some discretion, because we sure as hell didn't.
Yeah. It was,
and it was fun. It was the new shiny. It was something that I think that, yep, like I said, the majority of the party had been wanting for the past year. But for whatever reason, I don't even know why. Maybe just taboo, maybe just...
I didn't want to be the first person to do it. That's why, for me, the moment you passed a note, in my mind, it clicked. Notes, notes, I can do a note, I can do a note, I can do a note, a note.
And here's the thing I was going to say to you on that.
What are you, the role-playing dog? You're like, no, 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 squirrel? Yeah. No, 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 no.
That's funny, I like
actually,
that.
It's more like, no, 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 no. Ooh, popcorn.
That was what I was going to bring up to you, because you mentioned that, and the fact that you didn't want to be the first to do it. Another thing that you can do, I think that is that can be done very well with notes, is I would call it maybe the surreptitious note passing, where just because you're writing a note to give to the GM doesn't mean you have to hand it across the table to him. You can write it, have
use
it down
some
here.
Subtlety.
I mean, slip it to him under the table. Yeah.
Or sometimes it's even a timing thing.
And that kind of a thing. Or I mean, it doesn't have to be right in front of everybody, so that, because, and especially if you're, if you think that that's going to happen, it's like, oh crap, if I do this, they're going to know something's up, because if I'm trying to keep this a secret. So, you know, just that kind of a thing,
well,
too.
And if it's not something that needs to be resolved right this second, like the note isn't, I'm strapping a bomb to him as he walks away. Mm-hmm. If it's something like, hey, I'm just eventually going to do this project, then write the note, wait until there's a lull in the RP, or even put it in front of the GM and just say, you don't need to read or write the second.
I think
whenever it's convenient.
I think a good rule of thumb, if you don't know when to pass a note, treat it as if you're saying it out loud. So if the GM is RPing with one or more people and you pass a note to them, treat it as if you are interrupting the RP and you're saying what you're going to say. Because the GM actually has to stop, and at the very least, he has to stop and read it. So at the high, dramatic, lots of back and forth going on, again, unless you're talking about, you know, I'm putting a live grenade in his pocket, just kind of wait for that lull, and then, oh, here, real quick, here you go.
Let's go ahead and then and switch gears to the main topic for today, which is wrapping up our discussion on health. And we came up with a couple things we want to talk about. But Chris, the important thing here, from in my mind at least, is to make sure we answer the questions that were sent in. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. What is the next question on tap that we did not get to in 180?
Okay. So getting back to some questions here. This comes from Matthew. It says, I won't bore you with a dozen questions about how to eat right, because he thinks that he actually eats pretty good. But the problem is that he eats so much. So he feels he eats well, but he just eats too much of food. So he says, when I'm bored, I have nothing to do, or just haven't had something for a couple of hours, I eat. And this is, goes along with the three regular meals we all have in one day. So his question is, how do you scare away the munchies?
Good question.
It is a good question, because, you know, especially when you're sitting around a table, and if there's food there, you do get the munchies.
And this goes right back to the gaming table, because not only do you have the munchies, but you've got that temptation, mm-hmm, because you've got chips and dip and soda spread out on the table all over the place. It is a constant temptation.
It's a constant
to
temptation.
Snack endlessly.
And even if you're not hungry, you feel like your hands should be doing something.
Exactly. It comes down to devising some tricks and strategies to help kind of counteract that problem. I mean, because you could sit and say, yeah, go ahead and do nothing but pure willpower. A, it doesn't always work. And it sometimes, for some people, it doesn't work at all. So a couple things that you can do. Chew gum. If you got a couple pieces of gum in your mouth, you're going to be less inclined to grabbing some food, because you don't want to mix in, you know, chunks of chips in with your gum. And it keeps your mouth distracted from, you know, wanting to pick up other food. Drink more water. Or tea or coffee if you'd like, but I'd try and stick to water or tea. By drinking more of that, you're going to keep your stomach a bit more full. You're going to trick your stomach into thinking it's more full. You're going to feel less hungry and maybe less inclined to go and do that.
I'm assuming decaf coffee, though?
And not necessarily. You don't want to go and consume a tremendous amount of coffee during the day. I don't think there's anything wrong with having one or two cups, maybe three, throughout the course of an entire day.
Yeah. And coffee and caffeine is an appetite suppressant. I wouldn't go on the coffee caffeine diet, mind you. Yeah, but
caffeine can also raise your blood pressure, harden your blood vessels. It has a bunch
there's,
of other.
There's good and bad to that kind of stuff. But you do, if you do want to drink tea, you know, green tea or black tea or any variety of color teas, there's antioxidant properties in there. So you can be getting a little bit of health benefits if you want. And plus, you can also seem like an elitist bastard by saying, I've got this particular kind of tea. And you can send there with your little netting thing that you soak it in, your steeper. Also, tea, Earl Grey hot. Plus, it gives you the opportunity to say that.
I hate bergamot.
Well, if I'm going to recommend a tea, actually, yesterday I was reading the Physician's Desk Reference, which is a doctor's reference guide to herbal medicines, and chamomile tea really is all it's cracked up to be. So if you want a good tea, in my mind, good tasting and very good for you, try chamomile tea. Continue, Chris.
Another strategy you can employ is switch your meals. And what I mean by that is the Western or the American way about doing things is going from your three meals a day, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and having that be basically what you do. And all of those are generally on the larger side. But what a strategy that I think does work and can help you is go from three large to six smaller meals a day and pace them out to approximately every 2 to 3 hours or so. One of the benefits that does for you is it keeps your metabolism at a certain level. If you're eating healthy, it keeps your blood sugar steady, which is good for a number of reasons.
You also don't get hungry and binge eat.
Exactly, because you stay relatively full throughout the entire day, and you avoid that stomach growling, and then, avoid binge eating, and that's which could be especially bad at the table. If you're going to go and game, or if you're going to go somewhere where you know there's going to be a lot of food, and that's going to tempt you, eat before you go. Have something healthy, have something that you know is good for you before you go. That's going to hold you over for a few hours. And I mentioned this in the last episode, but if you're hungry or if you're not hungry, you are going to be less inclined and the temptation won't be nearly as strong. If Chad, for example, in the last episode, if you were full and then Pat comes in with those donuts, it's not going to be a big of a temptation for you right away. You may have to deal with it the last 2 hours of gaming, but that's a manageable temptation to try and override.
So, in my case, that's not always the case, though, Chris. For me, my temptation is there just as bad when I'm not hungry, because it's a psychological thing as much as it is a physical in some cases. There are the people that eat when they're under stress. There's the emotional eating. When things are happening at the table and it's exciting, I want to reach out and grab something because I have an adrenaline rush. I feel like my hands have to be doing something. It's entirely psychological.
In that case, I realize this is purely mental games. I mean, would it help you to have something like Silly Putty or a stress ball?
I mean, all
jokes aside, something Chad brought up between recordings is remove the temptations. If you're at a gaming table and somebody brings snacks, don't leave them on the table. Pass them out. If people are going to pour out a handful of Cheetos onto a napkin or something, that's fine. And then put the damn bag away.
Yeah.
A chip is not a big deal.
No.
It's when you eat half the damn bag.
Exactly.
It is not necessary to eat like a rabbit to lose weight. You need to do portion control. It's not about never eating. It's about eating less.
Exactly.
And when that food is in front of you, it's a temptation. One of the things that we are slowly starting to do in our games is we have a big bin of snacks, and some of it's junk, some of it isn't, but it's a bin with a lid, basically because Dave has cats. We need to keep the cats away from the food. And it keeps us away from the food, too. It used to be everyone would bring in snacks, and we'd lay them all on the table, and then it would just be this constant grazing. Grazing was killing us as far as our diets.
Yeah.
Constant grazing, because it's right there, it's within easy reach. What we have done sometimes, and we need to do more of in our gaming group, is have the snacks there. There's nothing wrong with them. You shouldn't feel guilty for eating them. Just eat the right amounts. But they're off, and they're put away, and you can't see them. When you want some, you have to get up, you have to go over. You pour out your portion, your serving, then you put the bag away. And then
that's the part we're not doing.
Portion of
Once
it.
Someone actually opens the box, everything goes out and it goes on the table. But until that box goes out, like this last week, we made it through probably two and a half hours before the box was open. The moment it was open, it's on the table.
I'll get back to something that, that I brought up.
One thing I want to say about removing the temptation, having it away from the table, of course, the best way to do that, and by extension, is if you know you're going to snack, then the best way to avoid the temptation is to not have the stuff there in the first place. If you know this particular food is bad for you and you want to try to eliminate that food from you, don't buy it. Don't bring it in.
Chris, that's something that I want to bring up. Like I said in the last episode, what my problem is I'm trying to lose weight. I'm not trying to enforce that upon my friends. If I'm at home and it's just me, or it's just me and Dawn and Sky, that's fine. You know, yeah, we don't buy the chips and we don't buy the big quart of ice cream and don't buy all the cookies and we don't buy all that. And it's just not around. Only the healthy stuff's around. But when I go to other people's house, if I'm the only person there who's overweight and cares about their weight, and everyone is either fat and doesn't care or skinny and isn't trying to lose weight, I don't feel right going to them and saying, hey guys, that bag of Doritos that you're eating there, could you just pour out a little in front of you and put it away and not eat it?
I want to get on to the next question, because I don't want to get tangented too far off of these points, but I guess let me ask the question of why not? I mean, if you were having any other problem in life, I mean, let's say you were wheelchair bound, you would say, hey guys, can we not game downstairs? And I don't know. I mean, that's a bad analogy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little extreme.
But my point being, though, that if you have some situation, let's say you went through a life trauma, and you may ask me as a game master, Dan, can this not come up in the game? Because I'm not at a point in my life right now where I really want to be thinking about this. As your friend, you know, and this is why I used to be the guy that every week brought in the box of Zingers. I stopped doing that.
Did.
You know, and instead, I started bringing in things like trail mix. I do still bring in Coke, but I'm really the only one that drinks it. I mean, it's not a temptation.
Everybody else drinks diet or I drink.
Yeah, and they're off in a side fridge. I don't leave them on the table. But, you know, I stopped bringing it. Why? Because even if I like them, first of all, they're really not good for me. Even if I'm not putting on weight, they're not good for my health. And secondly, as your friend, why should I not be concerned about your health and your struggle?
Well, Chad, in your particular example, a gaming table is one thing, and a social gathering of another sort is a different animal. And I can understand what you're talking about. But if it is around the table, I don't see anything wrong with you saying to these people who are your friends, or at least people you know really well, say, hey, you know what? You go ahead and eat them. Just get them out of my sight, because I'm trying to lose weight. If I see it, I'm going to ask you for it. So put it down next to your chair. Yeah, but the thing is,
the hard part is admitting that you have a weakness.
No, but wait a second. But the thing is, though, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's not a weakness, because if you are saying to these people, "I'm trying to lose weight, and that stuff tempts me,"
that's a strength. That's not a strength. Weakness.
You're proclaiming a strength that I'm trying to change myself for the better. I've decided I don't want to be a certain way. I want to be this way, and I'm asking you to help me with that and keep it out of sight down by your chair, and just reach your hand in and take chips. I don't care, because I'm not going to see them then. You know,
Chris, I'm going to take it a step farther here and say that I believe that, honestly, I don't see that it's a problem to say this around the game table, because when you really sit there and look at it, when is it good for anyone? I don't care who you are, to have a weekly activity where for 6 or so hours a day you do nothing but sit and eat junk food. I don't care if you're healthy and great,
you know,
shape.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a really good thing for anyone to do.
If you remove the rules and the role playing, that's what gaming is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're sitting on your butt for 6 hours eating junk food. That's not good for anybody. So I think that even takes.
That's why the LARPers
sort of what you're saying.
That's why the
Chad,
LARPers have it figured out, man. They're running around the woods all day.
Well, that's the nomadic peoples were in the best shape because they were on the move all the time.
Hey, fear the fruit.
Yeah.
You know, go out to the Fear the Con site, look that up, and donate to it. And I'll probably link it in the show notes again. Fear the fruit. I can't stress it enough.
But Pat, that gets into a larger issue of that's marketing is what's causing that kind of stuff to happen.
Oh, where, I know. Okay. But so anyway, next question. What's the next question, Chris?
All right, next question. This comes from Michael. He has a rather lengthy thing. I'm not going to go in and read the entire question, but essentially what he's talking about is he actually has a very physically demanding job. He does a lot of heavy lifting and things like that. And he talks a little bit about trying to make proper food choices and asking what it is. And he talks a little bit about something we talked about 180 about he has an addiction to, in his particular case, Dr. Pepper. He loves Dr. Pepper. He just can't get enough of it. In fact, he says he drinks more than 3 12-ounce cans a day. which he admits probably is not helping his situation. So in the end, he says he wants to know, what could I do as far as exercise to go with what he does at his job that would help him lose weight? Any resources that I know of that would help him cook healthier, but still a taste that a meat and potatoes type of family might enjoy? And I think he also had another problem is that he doesn't necessarily have much control over the food that's being purchased in his house. And he asks, am I stuck on pure willpower to cut down pop? And any ways to fix that?
So starting with the soda, the rest of it I'll let you handle because I don't have a lot of good advice. But starting with the soda, a lot of soda companies now are making little half cans.
Yeah, those so little 8 ounce babies.
You could get your Dr. Pepper fix without going through a full can.
Well, you just have to be careful that you don't cut three full-size cans for six small cans. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But you could replace, I mean, if it's just a flavor thing, then you could at least say, you know, I can get my flavor fixed without...
And we discussed, I have this addiction, and the smaller cans, they fill me up just as much as a big can. It's all about getting that caffeine fix or... you know, the flavor right then and there. Yeah. A small can is just as satisfying as a large.
Sure. And I would also suggest, instead of switching to diet at first, baby steps, try switching to caffeine-free. Caffeine doesn't actually, it's tasteless and odorless and all that sort of stuff. And it doesn't naturally occur in soda. Soda's not naturally occurring, but it isn't a natural part of the process. They get the caffeine from decaffeinated coffee. They take caffeine away from coffee, turns into a white powder, and then they sell it to soda companies. Soda companies put it in their soda. Try caffeine-free and see how long that goes, because you might not be addicted to Dr. Pepper. You might be addicted to caffeine.
Actually, real quick aside, and I wasn't even going to get into this.
Is your raging heroin addiction.
Yeah. There really is such a thing as caffeine addiction.
There is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am not kidding that I actually get migraine headaches.
No, this happened to my dad. My dad, for years, he used to drink Pepsi all the time, and then we got a headache. He used to take a medication I don't think is even available anymore called Vanquish. Then he'd get these massive headaches. Well, he finally went in to see a doctor, and what was going on was the Pepsi had caffeine in it. Vanquish is a headache cure that works by using caffeine. Mm. And basically what he had developed was a massive caffeine addiction. And when they slowly eased him off of that and got him caffeine unaddicted, his desire to drink Pepsi also decreased. Now, he does still drink Pepsi, but he's not going through the amount of soda that he was before. And once again, my dad, just like me, he's not an overweight guy. Yeah. This was not a weight issue, but it was not the soda he was addicted to. The soda just happened to contain what it was he was addicted
to. I've been told that in Turkey, they love coffee and tea so much, especially like Turkish coffee. And I don't know if it's true, but I've been told that they actually have caffeine detox clinics.
You know, if you want to switch to a soda, you were talking about going caffeine free instead of diet. Most root beers are caffeine free.
Yes.
My wife switches.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Barks in particular has caffeine.
Ginger ale is the same way. Most ginger ale is caffeine free. All right, but Chris, what is your response to the rest of his stuff?
Well, you know, in addition to those pieces of advice, I would go back again to what I said in 180 when it came to that kind of thing. If you're going to have a can of Dr. Pepper, have a similarly sized glass of water as your next drink. Pace it out that way. That might help you at least eliminate one or two cans over a certain period amount of time. With his physically demanding job, the days when you're not working, Michael, what I would suggest to you is either do exercises that work different muscle groups than what's being worked on the days that you're working. You want to try and get a little bit of balance out there. I would also suggest that he probably do some sort of stretching related exercise, or whether it's yoga or whatnot. I've read a lot about people who have physically demanding jobs, but because they do so much repetitive stuff over and over again, their bodies just tighten up. There's nothing non-manly about getting involved in, say, something like yoga. Yoga is actually very beneficial for you in many ways, many ways. He had some also issues with being on call all the time for like a 24-hour cycle and didn't know about, you know, working out. And he did want to work out on the days that he was on call. What I would suggest is, if you know when you're on call and you have an idea generally of when you do get calls, base your workouts around there. If you know you're probably not going to get a call over the course of the next 2 hours, well, then use that opportunity to find 30 minutes in there and work out. Yeah, it's not always going to work, but it might be the best solution you can get. He had some issues about not having any input or influence in the food that was being purchased in his house. I have a really difficult time with that, because I think anybody in a house situation has some amount of influence. At the very least, they can at least ask for certain types of foods.
Yeah, I would have to. That one kind of struck me as weird, too, because I don't know if he goes into the email explaining why.
He doesn't really, and he doesn't give any indication as to his age. I don't know if it's an age issue.
He could be a teenager.
It could be a teenager, but even then, you still have a tremendous... If you're a teenager, you seem to have even more influence on your parents on, hey, come on, mom, dad, buy this. You know, don't get this. I don't want that.
Okay, for a minute, let's go through the possible circumstances. Let's say he's younger and living at home. If you go to mom and dad and say, buy me some healthier food, you got some pretty screwed up parents if they say, no, you're going to eat potato chips.
Well, or on the other hand, maybe they poor parents.
Well, or maybe they themselves have weight issues.
It is really hard to eat both on a budget and on a diet.
Well, you can do it, but you can do it. You really have to work at it.
Well, even then, I don't know, man. I mean, you go to some place like Aldi's, you can get a lot of fresh, healthy food for a very reasonable price.
But you can also go to Whole Foods. And
yeah, exactly. But the other situation being, let's say he's older and he's married, and his wife does the grocery shopping. I mean, once again, this is your social support network. Just like your friends at the gaming table ought to respect you enough to stop bringing boxes of Zingers. I mean, surely you can talk to them about doing some little things. I mean,
and that's the key. Little things. Start small.
I wanted to get Carla on this episode to talk about some things, but unfortunately, we just weren't able to. We just don't have enough headsets, so she couldn't hear anything Chris was saying. But
also,
she's done a lot of stuff to change the way we eat the same foods, but eat them healthier. You know, if she's going to go get ground beef, she gets lean ground beef. One of the things she taught me, I did not know, is in many recipes when it calls for oil, you can actually use applesauce in place of oil, which is significantly healthier. If you're going to use something that requires potatoes, don't use potatoes, use sweet potatoes.
Absolutely.
Love sweet potatoes.
We just made a batch of baked sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
Extremely healthful.
Everybody's doing that lately.
You know why? Because they taste damn good.
Yeah, they're really good.
And on top of that, you mix
it. Easy.
You mix it with some ketchup. The ketchup is basically vinegar and tomato, so you get all your flavonoids or whatever the heck it is.
Flavonoids.
I'm just making words up now.
It's lycopene.
Yes.
Yep.
You get your lycopene. That's the word I couldn't think of. Flavonoids are something real, but
flavonoids are
but yeah. But the point is, you get your lycopene and all that stuff. You know, I mean, you get a lot of stuff from the tomato. And taking these fries and baking them, they're sweet potatoes, which are significantly better than regular potatoes. They're baked, not deep fat lard fried.
Do you want the quick recipe? You take a cookie sheet, spray it with Pam, preheat the oven to 350. That's your golden temperature, by the way. If you don't know how long or at what temperature to cook something in the oven,
cook it at 350.
Slice them up into chips. You keep the skin on, and they're just a little bit thicker than a potato chip. And if you want, you can take a small brush and brush them with olive oil. Or if you want to cut the olive oil out, just don't do that. Kind of glaze them with Pam just a little bit, just to get them a little wet. And then you can do one of two things. You can take brown sugar and cinnamon, or just cinnamon, and cover the chips with them and do sort of a sweet potato yam chip. Or what you can do is you can take like some sort of seasoning. Like what I did is I took a steak seasoning, like what you'd put on a steak you were about to grill. And mine was a roasted garlic one, roast garlic and herb. Just shake them all over that, throw them in the oven for about 10 minutes.
Keep them plain and dip them in ketchup.
Or just a little bit of salt and put them in for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, flip them over. Another 10 minutes, done.
Yeah, but getting back to the issue here, if he has no control over his food, I mean, I guess really that's the two things I'd go back to is, number one, I don't know who's buying the food, but I would hope this is somebody that would care about you enough to be willing to adjust the shopping list. But secondly, if he's got a job, which he says in the email he does, then maybe there's some way he can budget some portion of that to going out and buying loaves of whole wheat bread or slightly healthier items, or getting a dehydrator and making healthier snacks himself.
And that's what I was going to say, is that he generates some income in some way, shape, or form. So there's got to be, again, if you can't do it, you can at least start small. Buy some of that food yourself. Yeah. You've got the money. You've got, if you make money, you've got control to do something in regards to that. He also had just a question about not necessarily being a good cook. And so that's why I thought, Chad, it was actually very good that you did that quick and dirty recipe and that golden temperature of 350, because cooking is not nearly as intimidating as it seems. And I mean, if you can scramble an egg, you can make yourself a healthy breakfast, and you're good to go. I mean, because it's not hard to scramble an egg and make some toast and put some peanut butter on it, and you have yourself a very good breakfast right there.
So one thing you could have going on, an issue that I've run into, is that when I try to eat healthier, a lot of times I get the speech from my wife of, she wants to eat healthier too, but everything I'm picking tastes like cardboard. And I can't afford to buy two meals.
I
don't buy that.
I mean, if you're coming home with plain rice cakes.
I know she knows how to cook, though. But
if you're coming home with plain rice cakes, that argument flies.
You're doing it wrong.
If you're coming home with,
come home with caramel rice cakes.
I mean, I don't want to get into.
They're good.
Let me put it to you this way. I can cook. Dan can test. Dan loves my cooking.
Yes, Chad can cook. I cannot. I make killer grilled cheese. That's about it.
But I know what healthy food is. I know what unhealthy food is. I know how to cook. And it's not difficult. You get, everybody loves to cookbook or the Betty Crocker cookbook, big, thick, comprehensive cookbook, and just do what it says. Find a recipe that you like and then make it three or four times until you can make it without the recipe card.
Well,
and then you do that again. But here's the thing.
Or go to great websites like AllRecipes.com.
Yeah, AllRecipes is great.
Here's the thing, is that healthy food doesn't have to taste bad. And the reason why people relate diet food and health food with tasting bad is because they are doing what I call elimination diets. They are taking an entire food group like fat or carbohydrates or protein or something like that, and they are eliminating it from their diet to where they don't eat it anymore. And they've eliminated all these different foods to where the only thing they're left with is cardboard or the rice cakes or the boneless, skinless chicken breast.
And it's not good to do that because you need fats, you need carbohydrates, you need proteins, you need all of those things.
And what you need to do is you need to reduce the total amount of food you're eating, reduce your calorie intake to be equivalent to your activity level, but you can eat anything you want. That's the thing. When I talk to people about diets and they're doing all these Atkins and fad diets, it's like, no, you're not getting it. You can eat anything you want to eat. Just
slow down.
Cut it down.
All right, Chris, what's your next question?
Okay, next question. This comes from somebody who didn't give me their name. I already know more or less what to do when exercising. The hard part, again, we're getting back to what we're talking about, is eating right. Now here he has, do you have any advice for easy changes to one's diet that actually tastes like food? And so it's kind of vague because it all depends what you mean. You know, I personally like veggies. I think they taste great. I like fruit. I think it tastes great. I like bran. I love bran flakes. They taste good and they're my best friend for many reasons. But so here's some small changes. And a lot of them we've already kind of talked about, so I'm going to breeze through a couple of these. Obviously, reducing your sugar intake. That's a big change that you can make that will help you out in the long run. You know, we talked about reducing the amount of pop you consume. I love having sweets after lunch. Probably my favorite candy bar is a 100 grand bar. The nice part about the 100 grand bar is it comes in those two little sub bars inside the package. I don't really need to eat both things to satisfy my sweet craving. I can eat one day and one the next day. Well, and you guys talked about Zingers, and here's a good example of something like that. You don't have to eat both Zingers to get that full satisfaction, especially if you're at someplace at the game table.
You have to eat both Zingers.
Take a Zinger. Give one to your friend. Give one to some guy across the table.
Chris, this is a huge
Zingers come in three packs, and you have to eat all three.
Yes, and I don't like anybody enough to give them one of the Zingers.
Pop-Tarts, which really generally aren't that good for you, come two per package, and a serving size is one. Those bars you're talking about, I love those. They're generally one bar is a serving size, and there's two in a package. Zingers, three in a package. Why can't something come individually wrapped?
Why are 100-calorie packs more expensive than the big boxes? Yeah.
Unless I have Ziploc bags at the gaming table, I'm not going to put that away. And it's the same thing like at work. Unless I have Ziploc bags at the work, I'm not going to put it away. And then you feel like, well, I've bought it. I've opened it. I don't want it to go to waste. It's just a personal pet peeve of mine.
But something like a candy bar or even a Zinger, trust me, it ain't going to go bad if it waits a day to eat it.
it ain't going to go bad.
There's so little in there that's natural.
It's not going to last a day.
All right, but let me give you a couple thoughts of my own here on this, which is some of them are just check your options. For example, one of the things I've been doing before our games the past several weeks is there's a Japanese sort of casual dining place, yeah, called Sansai, that's right by Dave's house. And I've been pulling off in there. And you know what I get from there? It's a salmon, a little bit of like a salmon steak cooked in teriyaki, not fried, just baked, mm-hmm. covered in a little bit of teriyaki. They give me two different salads with have excellent flavor to them, whole grain brown rice. And that's what I take and eat. And it tastes like food. This is not cardboard. This is not tofu and
of
rice.
Of course, you have no idea the actual nutritional value of them or the sauces they're in.
I don't, maybe not, but I guarantee you it's better than the Monster Thick Burger. But here's another example.
No, I guarantee you the Monster Thick Burger is better, but that's better for
because
you.
Because that's one of the things, a lot of places like Crazy Bowls and Wraps and some of these, a lot of the places that do like the wrap places and things like that tend to sell themselves as healthy, but when you actually look at their menu item, they have a few things that are good, but generally, they're not nearly as healthy as you think they
are. Look at some of the menus. This is something else I was going to say. One of the things that I found that helped a lot, if you go to McDonald's, the hamburgers actually aren't that bad. Where you really start messing yourself up is the Big Mac, where you get not exactly cheese, and you get dressing. By the way, if you eat salad, you are wrecking the salad in terms of its health value with the dressing in most cases. It's the high-sodium fries. It's, you know, there are ways.
Supersizing.
Yes, the supersizing. Yeah. Go to McDonald's, fine. If you hate the hamburger, get the cheeseburger and the fries, but instead of a Coke, get a water. Or hell, if nothing else, just get the small size, not the super size.
And speaking of that, in some fast food places, there's two things about this. Some fast food places give you other options. Wendy's is actually very good in this regard. If you don't want to get the fries, get the chili. The chili at Wendy's, then that serving size is actually pretty darn good for you. And as an alternate to fries, it's way better. And when it comes to things like salad, it's the dressing that kills you. And in fact, actually, there's a lot of salads at fast food places. When you have the dressing on there, it's worse for you than some of their big burgers. The way around that is to dip your fork in the dressing and then stab your lettuce, because you're still going to get the taste of the dressing, but you're getting about 80% less of a dressing that you normally would, but you still get the taste.
So we're at a point now where we know some good things to eat. We have some advices on where to pick up food before gaming, because I think most people game either during a lunchtime or during a dinner time. One of the things that I noticed that was happening with me is that we game at 5 o'clock and we go from 5 till 10 or
till midnight,
till 11 or to midnight. Yeah. And so what I was doing is I usually don't eat till 6 normally through the week, or 6:30, between 6 and 7, depending on when I get off work. So what I was doing is to make the game, I was eating dinner at 4.
Yeah.
And
in my case, I'd skip breakfast. That would be my only meal.
Well, I never eat
meat beforehand.
I hate breakfast. I do not like eating when I get up. To me, the idea of eating when you get up is nauseating. I know that there's all sorts of...
See, that's actually bad.
Yeah, it's bad for you.
I'm just going to let that one go.
Chris is going to too.
I totally understand that not eating breakfast is bad, best meal of the day, and it's going to hurt my weight loss. But honestly, I've been like this since a child. I don't know why I'm like this. Even the idea of eating right when I get up is nauseating to me. I would rather wait till lunch. But anyway... So what I've been doing is I've been at 4:30 going to pick up my food or prepare my food at home. And usually it's better to prepare your food at home. And so I put it in a Tupperware and I bring it to gaming. And then when I come to gaming, everybody else, you know, before gaming started, is eating their food up and talking and chatting. I'll put my food to the side. And then I will wait till we're at least 2-3 hours into the game before I eat. Because that way, I don't eat and then start getting hungry. When I start getting hungry and when I would normally start snacking, I eat my dinner, and that carries me until I can go home.
Exactly.
That's what I would suggest for gaming is if you, and your entire group is trying to lose weight or is on board with it, don't eat right before your game or the start of the game. Eat in the middle. Take a break. Eat in the middle game. Yeah. Talk about how great the game is.
But be cognizant
going.
And try not to interrupt
the
game.
Yeah.
You've got one guy eating something crunchy and everyone else is trying to roleplay.
Well, I try to eat Crunchers potato chips for dinner.
Yeah. So. You know, actually, that's a good idea. I think that you can incorporate into the gaming what maybe you could do in your group is if you do that, say, if you get together at 5 to start gaming, let's just say, okay, what we're going to do from now on, we're going to game for a couple hours until about 7. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a dinner break, and we're going to have a healthy dinner where we're playing. Like, yeah. You, play, you know what else? Let's get some chicken that. Breasts and let's grill some chicken breasts and have something like that.
You know what?
It, make a healthy
isn't,
meal
isn't at, that a great,
incorporating some of your
game. Isn't that a great way to improve your game, improve your friendships,
yes.
and improve your health? Is you guys game for a couple of hours, and then everybody's like, okay, guess what, guys? We're going to take a break. We're going to break bread together. You grill up some meat. You prepare some healthy stuff. You get a salad. You do whatever. You prepare a healthy meal. And you could probably prepare a much healthier meal together than going out and getting it.
Yes.
So and even if you brought your food, like you're saying, we get back to what Chris mentioned last week is get up.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
are getting up to go fix it. You're moving around. And that's adding a little bit of motion in.
And that gives people a chance to talk about the game, mm-hmm. to talk about how well it's going, talk about how bad it's going, talk about the game and what the game master should be doing through all this is not talking. Listening to the conversations about the game, taking notes,
what the second half of the game is going to be like.
As a game master, I would love to have an A game and a B game where I can transition between them. Note heavy GM should too, so that they can.
You know, it's funny because they've done, I don't know how serious these are, but I've heard of studies where they think it may actually be better for people to sleep 2 4-hour shifts than 1 8-hour shift in a day. And I'm not going to get into that because it's wildly tangential. But it is funny because I wonder if gaming would work the same way. But I guess there would be a practical side to that because if you spend an hour and a half or 2 hours preparing and cooking the meal and you're already in an adult life where you've only got a couple hours to game, this could kill the game.
It could. It has that potential to do that. Absolutely.
You know how hard it is to get started at the beginning of the night. You've now got to get started twice.
Right.
Get rid of starches or try and reduce them anyway. If you're eating white bread, you got to switch to something like whole wheat. And I know that we get in the conversation about cardboard, but really, honestly, most of the flavor in a sandwich comes from what's in between the two pieces of bread, and whole wheat is going to be a much better choice for
and
you to
have. Let's stress that's whole wheat, not enriched wheat or wheat bread.
And that's the
there
thing
is
that
a difference.
It's got to say whole wheat on there. If you went out and bought a loaf of wheat bread, you're buying white bread that's brown is what you're doing. It's the same thing. It's got to say whole wheat. Food manufacturers are picking up on that particular trend. They are finding whole wheats that are a bit more palatable to some people. When you eat, slow down. It takes a while for your stomach to tell your brain, I'm full. Usually, it's almost on a 20-minute delay. Slow down your eating process, and you will find that you will eat less. Dan mentioned sleep earlier. Get some sleep. Really, adults still could use 8 hours, especially if you're exercising, you're weightlifting, you're really going to want to get 8 hours of sleep. Going to fruits and veggies 5 times a day. In my personal opinion, you cannot eat enough fruit or vegetables throughout the day. Smaller plates, smaller glasses, use some more visual cues to help control your portion size. People have a tendency, if they got a big ass plate, they're going to put a big ass portion on there. Make your plate smaller and you're going to put less on there.
You know, Chris, talking about slowing down eating, one of the pieces of advice I've been given several times is to find foods that take work to eat. For example, pistachios, walnuts, something that you have to go through a physical process to eat each bite slows down your eating process and reduces the portions you eat because of the fact you can't just shovel it in your mouth.
Absolutely.
You have to keep stopping to get at the next bite.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's something to remember when you're a gamer too, because I know that I've been running late for games or something like that, and I want to get there. I got people waiting for me, but I need to eat something. So I shovel something in my mouth real quick. You know, work on managing your time better, because if you can actually plan a meal, you can plan a healthy meal.
Exactly. And that kind of stuff comes down to it's a preparation factor. You know, I get up pretty early in the morning, and so I spend at least about 20, 25 minutes each night prepping everything I need for the next day to make my morning time a lot easier. Get out all the utensils I'm going to need for breakfast. I get out my clothes that I'm going to wear. I take some time, if I remember, cut up myself some vegetables that I'm going to have with my sandwich that I will make the following day because I'm not that good at preparing. But but if you still take that time, and it really isn't that much time when you think about it, once you get in the habit of doing it, prep yourself. You can then also prepare for the food that you're going to eat the next day as well. So you make some smart choices and you avoid the vending machine. Two other quick things. We talked a little bit about earlier about oils and all that. Olive oil and canola oil, two very good oil choices to make if you're going to cook with oil. Nothing wrong. I mean, you can, and honestly, I have found through experimentation, you can cook pretty much anything with olive oil, despite the fact that it has the scent that it has. We've made pancakes with olive oil. You cannot smell or taste it in the final product.
And as long as you're not frying something in the oil, you can use extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
Because the lighter the olive oil, the higher tendency it will have to scorch. So if you're frying something in the oil, use a heavier olive oil. If you're cooking something like pancakes, use an extra virgin olive oil, and you won't even get the smell.
And sweet potatoes fried up in olive oil are incredibly delicious. Mm-hmm. And then just one thing, you know, when you're buying stuff, read your labels. Yeah, you want to stay away from high fructose corn syrup, and it is pervasive. It is in ketchup. It is in many breads, and it doesn't need to be in breads. You want to avoid trans fats. Both of those things are not naturally occurring chemicals. Although fructose is a naturally occurring compound, high fructose corn syrup is a man-made thing, and it's not necessary. Last question. This guy writes in his name. He also did not leave his name. But this one is kind of a little bit near and dear to my heart because he and I share a similar problem. Right now, he says he weighs 270. He'd like to drop down to 220 and maybe to 200. He says his main issue is this. He works in a warehouse and he stands and walks all day long. This keeps him from gaining any weight, but he has flat feet, so his feet hurt really bad by the end of the day. And he wants to know if a little exercise would help him to start losing weight. What would I recommend for an exercise program that would not involve walking and or jogging and keeping him off his feet? I also have extremely flat feet to the point where they are essentially levels. They're like book surfaces. They are literally that flat. And actually, I have a funny story to tell about that, which I will tell some other time. But if you haven't visited a doctor, an orthopedic person, to get some sort of insert into your shoe to help correct your posture a little bit, you need to immediately. I did that many years ago, and my feet have benefited ever since. And my orthotics that I have are obscenely tilted to try and correct my standing posture. But it's necessary, and it really does. It helps a lot. As far as an exercise program, there's very, very little that you can do that doesn't involve you being on your feet. But in this particular case, I would probably recommend some sort of weight resistance program to this individual because it doesn't necessarily involve a lot of walking. It certainly doesn't involve any kind of jogging. You just basically stand stationary and are doing weight-based exercises. That would help to improve not only his muscle tone and musculature, but it also strengthens his bones and helps to correct some of his posture, which could also help alleviate some of that foot pain.
Well, and another possibility, while there may be a cost involved of getting a YMCA membership or something like that, swimming would be another option.
He says swimming would be a good option.
But once again, I realize there's a cost involved in that, which may or may not be within his budget. I have no idea.
Exactly. Or he could, you know, if you live in a warmer climate where you have easy access to lakes, you know, or the ocean, if you're on the coast, that's also a possibility. The biggest thing, I think, or one of the biggest components to any kind of successful thing that you're going to do that involves weight loss is the support structure. You can do it alone, but it is extremely difficult and people continually fail. But if you have a support structure, whether it is your friends around the gaming table, or if it is your family members if you live at home or in your mom's basement, or if it's your wife or if it's your girlfriend or if it's your boyfriend, you've got to let them know what you're trying to do and make it clear to them. Say, hey, I'm trying to do this and I need your support. And explain to them what that means and what, you know, how they can offer that support. Whether it's keeping certain foods out of the house, words of encouragement, them asking you how you're doing, that kind of thing. But if you don't have that kind of support, I would honestly really encourage you to come to the Fear the Boot forums because we do have a thread in the general discussion area about weight loss. And there hasn't been a single post on there where somebody comes in and says, hey, you know what? I've done this and I've lost this many pounds. There hasn't been a number of follow-up posts by people saying, that is great. Good for you. Good job. Keep it up. Keep going. What did you do to lose it? You know, and engage that person in a discussion. And that can work as a support network.
And then Tech sends in a picture and he says, you see this picture? This is me not putting shit in my mouth.
Exactly.
Here's a larger res version for those of you with seeing difficulties. This is me not putting shit in my mouth.
It is my new mantra.
Two closing thoughts real quick before we wrap this episode up. One is I want to reiterate the disclaimer from the prior show. Go back to 180 if you want to hear it in detail. We are not medical doctors. Chris does have some certifications and training, so we're not completely talking out of our butts. But talk to a real doctor or dietitian if you are considering any major changes to your lifestyle, and be sure you're running your ideas past them. Fear the Boot is an advice show. We care about you guys. We want to improve your games. And part of improving your games is helping you to live longer and feel better about yourself, which is why we felt this was important to talk about. So I hope you guys will take this seriously. But we're not doctors. The second thing, as I said when we were teasing this topic, that I would talk briefly about how gaming actually may be good for your health. One of the things we did not talk about at any great length during the course of this show is emotional health. And countless studies have shown a link between someone's emotional and social state and their overall health. And one of the largest factors that they have shown in all these things is something Chris just mentioned, which is a support network. That the more genuine friends you have, the longer and better life you are likely to have. And tabletop role-playing games, unlike video games, unlike so many other hobbies out there, cannot be done unless you get a group of friends together around a table to enjoy each other's company. And I hope these are people that you would also consider friends. And through those positive social interactions, you are building and strengthening friendships that I hope you develop and or at least can develop into other areas of your life, into support when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're trying to stick to a diet, when you're doing whatever. And so the very act of tabletop gaming, even though we've talked so much about the Cheetos and sitting on your ass in an easy chair, yeah, those may be problems. But something good that's coming out of it is the fact that you are tapped into a social network, a group of close friends that you come back and see every week for some D&D or Battletech or Savage Worlds or whatever your flavor is. And countless studies have shown that that right there can have an incredible impact on both your mental and physical health. And I hope that's something that you're taking advantage of. So on that positive note, we will go ahead and close out 181. I don't remember if we did the top of the show, and even if we did, I'll do it again. Fear the Con 3 is coming up.
Right.
In about a month, I want to see all of you there, every single one of you, including those of you that live in Israel and Australia and the Netherlands and all those such places, unfortunately.
And we can't forget good old jolly England.
Yes, and our good friends in England. So be sure to check that out at fearthecon.com, and we will be back with something completely different. There's my little English joke in 182. So have a great week.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2010. Listeners are free to use the show in a non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.